Well, we're continuing our series called There Is More. Why don't you look at your neighbor, just tell him, there's more. There's more. God has more for us. There is more. And it's a series about the Holy Spirit. And in week one, we learned who he is. We talked about that. In week two, we talked about what he's like. And then last week, Pastor Kyle started to teach us what he wants to do for us. And the first thing we learned is he wants to fill us. And we talked about that last week. And I just want to encourage you, if you missed last week, make sure you go back and watch that message. Because the truth is, this is one of the most important messages, most important series that we can hear as followers of Christ to walk out the full potential that God has for us. In fact, I'll tell you, it was about 20 years ago that a series just like this radically changed my walk with God. I had been saved about 10 years that I had been following Jesus, and I did love him. I loved him with all my heart. I had surrendered my heart to him. But the truth was that if I described it to you, I would describe myself as saved and struggling. Anybody else? Struggling with the same sin, the same temptations, the same strongholds over and over and over. It's like I had one foot in the world and one foot in what God wanted for me. And I did not know how to go all in with what God had for me. I was constantly in the cycle of that struggle. And so I had moved to another church, and I just started attending a different church. And it was the very first series that I heard in this church was a series on the Holy Spirit. And I remember sitting there, and I do remember the thought coming to me, wait a minute, how in the world have I gone 10 years and never heard something about the Holy Spirit? Like, what is this all about? I didn't even know or have reference point to who the Holy, I had heard the word Holy Spirit, of course, but so many times we have a negative connotation of what we think that word means and who that is. And I just had no point of reference for the Holy Spirit. It was kind of like in Acts chapter 19, what would happen all through the book of Acts, that Peter or Paul, they would be going around, and if they met somebody that were followers of Jesus or disciples, they would say, have you believed in the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? In fact, look, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 2, Paul says this. He comes across some disciples, some believers, and he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you came to believe? And they replied, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. That was me. As I sat in that series in that church, and I remember hearing about the Holy Spirit. And on that day, after a few different weeks of the series, I remember the day so clear. When they taught about being filled with the Holy Spirit, just like we heard last week. And I listened to that message and I thought to myself, Lord, if there's more, I want it. I want everything you have for me. And I don't understand it all. And I don't even know where to start. And I don't know what this is gonna look like. But I wanna be filled with the Spirit. If there's more, I want it. And I remember walking out of that service after that service, and I went over to, they had a chapel. It was an extra large church, and they had a little chapel, and there were people over there praying. And I remember walking into the chapel, and they had worship music going in there and people praying. And I just remember just standing there before the Lord saying, I want all of you. Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me. I don't even know what this means and what it looks like, but I'm asking for more. And I went up to somebody who was praying in the room, and I tapped them and I asked them to pray for me. And I said, I want to be filled. Can you pray for me? And they did exactly what Paul did in that passage in Acts 19. They laid hands on me and they prayed for me to be filled with the Spirit. And from that day forward, my life began to change. I was saved, but now I was Spirit-filled. But I want to encourage you, what I've come to tell you today is, even after being Spirit-filled, there is more. There's more. And so what I want to challenge us with today is not to just be Spirit-filled, but to be Spirit-led. And there really is a difference. In fact, when we talk about being Spirit-filled, when I ask to be filled with the Spirit, when I say I'm Spirit-filled, I'm saying I have more of the Holy Spirit. But when I say I'm Spirit-led, that means the Holy Spirit has more of me. And the truth is that is exactly what needs to happen. If you and I are gonna partner with the Holy Spirit, break out of some of these, have you ever just felt like, I just don't have the power to overcome and live the full potential of life that God has for me? My life lacked power, it lacked purity, it lacked purpose, it lacked all of that. Until the moment, not only that I was filled with the Spirit, but when I learned how to be led by the Spirit. And so here's what the question I want to answer. It's the title of the message today, and it's this. How do I let the Holy Spirit lead me? How do I let the Holy Spirit lead me? Let me share Galatians 5. I'm going to go back to Galatians 5. Paul said it this way, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, what Paul's saying, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, also let him lead you. Would you lean into the leading of the Holy Spirit? And I want to answer that question for us today. I want to go on the journey. And so today I want to give us three keys to being Spirit-led. And it'll change our life. It changes our circumstances. It changes how we interact with one another. It changes how we interact with God. It'll change us as a church if we're Spirit-led. Three keys to being Spirit-led. Here's the first one. Number one, don't quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says this, do not quench the Spirit. The Amplified Bible puts it like this. I love this. Do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The NIV puts it like this. This is a great version. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. In other words, when we quench the Holy Spirit, we ignore something he's prompting us to do. I'll say it like this. I wrote this in my notes. We quench the Holy Spirit when we don't do what he's prompting us to do. Have you ever had that prompting? The Holy Spirit telling you to do something? And the question is, what did you do in that moment? Did I quench the Holy Spirit? Meaning, did I ignore it? Did I disobey it? Did I turn away from it? By definition, that word quench means this: to extinguish the fire, to restrain, to suppress, to stop, block, cease, or to put out. The truth is, we're filled with the Holy Spirit and he wants to lead us. We need to be led by the Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do is get his power through us into circumstances around us, through us to other people. But if we're not careful, we'll quench him. We'll stop that power from being flown through us. We'll block what he wants to do in that moment through us. I can remember so clearly just a time that I knew I had quenched the Holy Spirit. And I think often the reason we can quench the Holy Spirit, we cannot step out when we know he's prompting us to say something or do something or give something away or apologize, whatever it is that the Spirit is prompting us to do. Many times, if you're like me, I'll quench him because I'll have this question playing in my mind. And the question is, what if I'm wrong? What if it's not God? You ever felt that? You felt a prompting, I should step out in this, I should say something to that person, I should send that text, I should give that away, I should pray for them, whatever that prompting is. And I've had the thought, well, what if I'm wrong? What if it's not God? And I just want to encourage us today, I think we're asking the wrong question. The question is, what if you're right? What if it is God? This is how God gets his power through us. This is why he fills us with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us and then he wants to lead us. And how he does that, he's gonna do some prompting in your life. He's gonna prompt you to reach out to someone, to share your faith with someone, to pray over someone, to give something away, to go serve on a team, to apologize to that person, whatever it is. And so the question is, what if you're right? What could God do through you if you're right? But I remember so clearly in my mind a time that I quenched the Holy Spirit. It was about I've had many times. It's not my only example, but I'm only going to give you one today. And I remember it was about a year and a half ago, and I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And when I say prompting, don't think extra mystical about it, that you have to hear a voice. I just felt it in my heart. A prompting is you feel something in your heart you're supposed to do. And I felt this prompting that I needed to go away for 3 days to the beach. No. Yeah, we should all feel these promptings. I felt like I needed to go away for 3 days and fast and pray. Fast and pray for the church. Fast and pray for myself and my family. Fast and pray for the staff. I just knew the Holy Spirit had prompted me. So Kyle would tease me, oh, you're going on vacation. I go, it's only vacation if you get to eat. I didn't eat for 3 days, and so it was not vacation, but I went and spent time with the Lord, and I fasted, and I prayed, and I listened to his voice, and I studied the word, and I did everything I knew to do in that 3 days. And I remember I was traveling home after that 3 days. It was an amazing 3 days. I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was in step, like Paul says, I was in step with the Spirit. I had heard his voice. I was close to him. I knew that he was prompting me, and so I remember stopping. I had an 11-hour drive back home, and I remember stopping at a Starbucks, and I went into that Starbucks, and as I was standing in line, there were probably five people or so in front of me, and about three people up, there was a woman standing there. And I remember she had a sling on her arm. She had her arm all cut up in a sling. And I remember so clearly the Holy Spirit whispering to me, I want you to go to her and I want you to encourage her. Tell her I've not forgotten her. And then I want you to pray for her. I want to heal her arm. Have you ever been in this situation where you just stand there and you argue with the Holy Spirit? I mean, I argue with anyone who wants to argue. But that day I stood there and I remember thinking to myself, well, that's weird. Well, I'm in Starbucks. They don't even believe in Jesus here. What are they gonna say? What's that lady gonna think? And what if you don't heal her? You want me to walk up, lay hands on that arm, and then what? Rip the sling off? What do I do next? And I had all these questions and all these doubts and all these fears. But here's the thing. If I would have just taken a minute of process of elimination, I could have known that was definitely the Holy Spirit's voice. The truth was, it wasn't the devil telling me to do that. I could rule him out. He wasn't going to tell me to go lay hands on someone and to pray over them to be healed or to share Jesus or encourage them. I knew it wasn't him. And I also could have eliminated, it wasn't myself coming up with it. All I wanted to do was get home to my family and eat some good food. I wasn't my flesh wanting to step out of my comfort zone. I knew it was the Holy Spirit's voice telling me clearly, I want you to go encourage her, and I want you to pray for her, and I'm about to rain down from heaven and do something amazing in this place. I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I'll just tell you in this moment so that you feel better if you've ever done it, I quenched him. I put out the Spirit's fire. I didn't step out in the prompting. I didn't obey the voice in that moment. To the point that I watched her walk out of those doors and walked outside, and I stood there still arguing with the Holy Spirit because I know what it's like to be Spirit-led, and it's amazing. And it's the faithfulness of God on your life when you're Spirit-led. I knew the Holy Spirit was talking to me. I just couldn't get over my own comforts in that moment to step out, and I began to quench it. And I finally came to the realization, I have to do this. That is the Holy Spirit. To the point I ran out the door to try to just see, could I find her? And I saw her in the car driving off, and that was that. There wasn't another opportunity, and it was in that moment I knew I had quenched the Holy Spirit. I had blocked his power from flowing. He wanted to heal somebody. He wanted to encourage them. Now, I don't tell that as if I'm still under shame and condemnation. The Holy Spirit's not upset with me, but I do need to realize I can quench him. I can stop somebody else from getting what he wants to get to them. And he'll still get it to her, I'm sure of it, but he could have used me to do it. It could have blessed my life in that moment as well. And it could have happened so much faster, but I quenched the Holy Spirit. I stopped his power from flowing through me. Let me show you a time that it was done right in scripture. In Acts chapter 8, there was a man, a disciple named Philip. And in that time, they were followers of Jesus, were being scattered all over in the book of Acts because of persecution. And Philip was going around sharing the good news everywhere he went, the Bible tells us. And then we get to this place in Acts chapter 8, verses 29 through 31. It says this, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Okay, pause right there. I love this. I love reading this. It teaches me so much. So here's the Holy Spirit prompting Philip, whispering to Philip's heart, go over to that chariot and stay near it. If I'm Philip, that's a tough one because here's what I'm thinking. What am I supposed to say when I get there? Anybody else wrestle with the questions and allow the questions to stop you from stepping out in the prompting of the Spirit? Well, what do I say when I get there, and what? How are they gonna respond, and are they gonna, then what's gonna happen, and why do you even want me to go over to the chariot? I love that Philip didn't have any of those excuses and he didn't have any of those questions. In that moment, we watch as he chooses to not quench the Holy Spirit and to step out as the Holy Spirit is stirring his heart. He was Spirit-led in this moment. And the Bible says this, then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. I love that. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's prompting you, run. Run to it. You can trust that. Here's what I want to say. The Holy Spirit will never prompt you to do something that is contrary to this word. This is why we read our Bibles. This is why we have to know the word of God. If I'm going to be able to align the voice of God with the word of God, I have to know both and be sensitive to both. And so if the Holy Spirit's prompting you to do something that is contrary to this, I just need you to know that's not the Holy Spirit. But if you know it lines up with this word, if you know it's in scripture and it's God's will, then you can trust it. Run to it like Philip did. He ran to the chariot. He hears the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he says this, "Did you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So here's this royal official from Ethiopia. The Bible says he was a eunuch. He's sitting there. He's reading this prophecy of Isaiah. And what happens next? Because Philip did not quench the Holy Spirit. He moved on the prompting of the Spirit in his heart. He gets into this chariot. He explains the gospel. He tells them the prophecy has come. The Messiah is here and you can be a follower. And he tells them about Jesus. The man receives Jesus. And then the Bible tells us the man says to Philip, "Hey, there's water over there. Should I go get water baptized?" They get out of the chariot and the man gets water baptized and the Spirit of God snatches Philip up and takes him to a different location. How amazing is that? All because he did not quench the Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit's trying to use us. He's trying to get some power through us. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. The power's not just for you. It's supposed to flow through you. There's people that need you and I to listen and be led by the Holy Spirit. There's people sitting in CC&O jail right now that need encouragement and a word from God, and we're the ones that are called to bring it to them. There's people in our city. You're going to walk by them. You're going to be sitting at lunch today, and the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you to pay for somebody's lunch, and I'm telling you, don't quench it. You have no idea what it may do in that moment. God has a plan, and he's going to release his power. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Stop putting out his fire. We got to stop putting out his fire. If we're going to be Spirit-filled, let's be Spirit-led. Let's be Spirit-led. And so here's the question. Where in your life are you quenching the Holy Spirit? Where is he whispering to your heart, and he's stirring it, and he's prompting you, and you're stopping, and you're questioning, and you're doubting, and the Holy Spirit's gracious. He'll confirm it to you. But where are you quenching the Holy Spirit? Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Second key to living a Spirit-led life is this. Number two, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Here it is, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Paul says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the NLT version says it like this, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." In other words, it's saying you and I can break the Holy Spirit's heart. We think that our sin, that's what the Bible's talking about. I'll show you some examples here. But we think that our sin doesn't hurt anybody else and it only hurts ourselves. No, the Bible says when we grieve the Holy Spirit, it breaks the Holy Spirit's heart. It brings sorrow to the Holy Spirit. It brings pain to the Holy Spirit. Here's that word grieve in the original Greek. Here's the definition. It means to distress, to pain, to make sad, and to make sorrowful. I wrote it down like this. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do what he's convicting us not to do. So while we quench the Holy Spirit by not doing what he's prompting us to do, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't stop doing what he's convicting us to not do. Make sense? That's the difference between quenching and grieving, and there's this moment where we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, he is a gift to our lives. The reason I have the Holy Spirit is for conviction. Now, condemnation is different. That's what the enemy does. Condemnation says you don't deserve to be close to God because of your sin. You should be far from God and you should never come back close. Conviction says you're too far from God. Come back. Come back close. Let me convince you. The word convict means convince. The Holy Spirit's going, let me convince you there's a better way. Let me convince you there's more. Let me convince you that's not the best choice. It will cause you to separate from God. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings us closer to God. He doesn't push us away. And so when sin grieves the Holy Spirit, it's because sin hurts people. And the Holy Spirit loves people. Anytime I find myself in a conversation slandering somebody else's name, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit loves them. Well, but they deserve it, and they were wrong, and they did this, and they... No, no, no. The Holy Spirit loves them. I can grieve the Holy Spirit in that moment. Paul does a good job of listing out different things all over Scripture. Ephesians 4, he gives us a list of things that grieve the Holy Spirit. But let me share with you some examples in Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 through 21, Paul says this about what would grieve the Holy Spirit. And it says, the cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality grieves the Holy Spirit. Lustful thoughts grieves the Holy Spirit. Pornography breaks the Holy Spirit's heart. Chasing after things instead of God grieves the Holy Spirit. Manipulating others and hatred of those who get in your way breaks the Holy Spirit's heart. Senseless arguments and resentment when others are favored and temper tantrums and angry quarrels all bring pain to the Holy Spirit. Only thinking of yourself and being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, breaks the Holy Spirit's heart. Murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all the similar behavior all grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Why? Because it separates us from Him. Any time that I'm not hearing the Holy Spirit's voice in my life, when I feel hard-hearted, when I'm going, where are you, God? And I can't hear you and you're not close. It's the moment I need to stop and ask the Holy Spirit, have I grieved you? Is there anything bringing distance between you and me in this moment? And then what do you do? What do you do if you know you've grieved the Holy Spirit? Because by the way, let me let you know, you will. You will, let me just, okay, this is the news flash. Kyle is a sinner. Every day. If you'd like to know all of the sins, meet me in the altar after. And so are you. And so am I. I'm going to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's why He fills me and He leads me, because there's a convincing, there's a knock on the heart, there's a moment that He whispers, sometimes yells, stop it! That's not the way to go. That's not the thing to do. Don't be looking at that. Don't say that in that moment. Don't do that in that moment. There's this convincing. Conviction is a gift on my life. It helps me break free from the triangle and the circles of sin and temptation and all the things and struggles I'm up against. The convicting of the Holy Spirit, the convincing comes along and says, hey, there's a better way. Hey, there's more. And that's not the way. So what do you do when you know you've grieved the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It's pretty simple, actually. Do this. Repent. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That word repent just means change your mind. It's one thing, and this was my struggle, and this is where I got stuck. I felt bad that I'd hurt God. I felt bad that I had done the thing one more time. I felt bad that I was stuck in that cycle. I felt sorrow over it. I knew I had grieved the Holy Spirit, but I never changed my mind. I would go back out and do the same thing all over again. Repent means I change my mind about that thing. That the Holy Spirit has convinced me there's a better way. I change my mind and I change my direction and I don't keep doing that thing. That's what it means to repent. And the Bible says that times of refreshing will come over you. I'm telling you, there's some today and you just need to do what David did. He got before the Lord and he said, if there's anything in me that's offensive to you, if there's anything in me that's grieving your heart, God, show it to me. Pull it out by the root. And whatever you do, he says this in Psalms, whatever you do, don't take your spirit from me. Don't stop convicting me, he says. Don't stop convincing me. And he changed his heart and he changed his life. And so here's the question we can all wrestle with today, and that is there anything in your life that's grieving the Holy Spirit? Because if we're going to be spirit-filled, we need to be spirit-led. And if we're going to be spirit-led, we can't keep grieving the Holy Spirit and thinking that we're going to hear His voice more and more. Here's the third key, final key is this. Number three, yield to the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, the Passion Translation puts it like this. As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder Him from living free within you. Here's what Paul's saying. when he's talking about yield to the Holy Spirit. Here's what Paul's saying. There's your way, and there's the Holy Spirit's way, and they're probably not the same. Anybody? Anybody have the struggle within, the war within? There's my way, and there's God's way, and they usually don't line up. There's my thoughts, and there's God's thoughts, and they usually contradict each other. There's my plans, and there's God's plans, and they're not always in line with one another. There's my way, and there's the Holy Spirit's way, and at some point, someone has to yield. Someone has to yield. Who's it gonna be? Not him. You're doing good, Mama. Don't worry. Here's the definition of yield. To give way to, surrender to, submit to cease resisting, to defer to. I want you to think about a yield sign when you're entering maybe the interstate and you come up on a yield sign. Well, what does the yield sign mean? The yield sign's telling us I have to slow down and let them go first. I have to defer. I have to let them go. What Pastor Kyle thinks the yield sign means is that you should put your foot on the gas pedal, speed up, and beat everybody else out. No, see, this is not a Spirit-led church. This is why I'm giving this message. Y'all are following Pastor Kyle. Follow the Holy Spirit. Well, that's what a yield sign means. It means slow down. Pause just long enough. It doesn't mean stop. It doesn't mean quit. It doesn't mean give up. It means wait, just pause. And let the Holy Spirit go first. Here's how I wrote it in my notes. We yield to the Holy Spirit when we pause and let him take the lead. He's smarter than you. Amen. He knows where you're going. You don't. In our family, there's this fun game. The only thing is it's not fun to me. It's fun to the rest of the family. Because what happens is I'm a fast walker. So no matter what group I'm with and who I'm with, I'm always out front by quite a few strides. I don't know why, I just am always way out there. And so in our family, no matter where we go, if we're coming in a building, out a building, I'm always way out front and they're all way back there. The only problem with that is I never know where I'm going. So everybody's following me to who knows where. And now the game is, we'll go in a mall or some big building with a big parking lot and we'll come out and sure enough, I'm taking the charge out in front and I'm out front and everybody's behind me. Well, the game to the family is nobody tells me that I'm going the wrong direction. They just go get in the car and hide. And it'll take quite a bit before I realize, nope, where's everybody? Where's the car? Where are we? Am I even in the right parking lot? And they will let me walk up and down those aisles, car by car, to try to figure out where the car is. This is just my dilemma, and they all love it. And nobody will yell, hey, wrong way. Hey, come back over here. That's not where the car is. Nobody does that. They just go get in the car. Well, I was kind of chuckling about that this week, and I remembered a statement that Kyle had made to me to some degree in this form. I remember one time he said, if you would just yield, if you would just wait and let me go first, I'll take you right to the car. It'll save you a lot of time in the parking lot. And I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, I wonder if that's how the Holy Spirit feels with us. If you'll just yield, if you'll just let me go first, I'll take you right where you need to be. I'll take you right where I planned for you to go. And you won't waste so much time in wrong doors, wrong circumstances, wrong jobs, wrong situations, wrong conversations. Come on, the Holy Spirit's going, if you'll just pause long enough to let me take the lead, I'll show you the steps to take. I'll get you where you need to be. Yield to the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? It means before I make the decision, I yield. Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? You go first. Before I say the thing I feel like saying in the midst of the conversation, I yield. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say in this moment? Before I make the decision, before I make the call, before I do the thing, I just yield. I pause long enough to let the Holy Spirit take the lead and I follow in step with him. Let me show you an example in Acts chapter 16, because remember, there's our plans and there's the Holy Spirit's plans. And our job is to be Spirit-led. That means staying in step with the Spirit and letting him lead us and go first. And in Acts chapter 16, actually, in the book of Acts, it's the best example of Spirit-filled and Spirit-led believers. You want to learn what that looks like? You go read the book of Acts this week, and you watch as God shows you how they were Spirit-filled and Spirit-led on every point. In their promptings, they were quick to step out. They were Spirit-led. When it came to grieving the Holy Spirit, they were quick to repent and get in alignment with God's word. They were Spirit-led. When it came to which direction to go, what decision to make, what plan was best, they were Spirit-led. They would yield often to the Holy Spirit. In fact, one example is Acts chapter 16, verse 6. They've made a decision and they're going out to share the gospel, and they feel like the best place to go is Asia, that that's where it's, God's going to send them, that that's where they could get and reach the most people. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 says this: Paul and his friends wanted to go to the region of Asia to speak God's message, but the Holy Spirit stopped them from doing this. And then it goes on, they came up with another plan of a different place they were going to go. And it says the Holy Spirit stopped them from going there. No, you're not going there either. And then finally, the Holy Spirit gives Paul a vision and tells them they're to go to Macedonia. And from that point, things happened that God knew were going to catapult the gospel going even further than it could have if they would have stuck with their own plan. I'm so grateful that in that moment, the disciples yielded to the Holy Spirit. What about us? What is it? What decision? What thing do you have coming up? What struggle are you stuck in? What area are you not yielding to the Holy Spirit? What if you just paused long enough to ask him to speak to your heart, to open the right door and close the wrong door? What if you and I just paused long enough to pray and then follow his voice? I'm telling you, it could change everything. It changed my life. Because I was Spirit-filled, I had more of the Holy Spirit. But I wasn't Spirit-led. The Holy Spirit needed more of me. That's what yielding is all about. I give you all of me, Holy Spirit. I'll stay in step with you. I'll stay in tune with your voice. Where you tell me to go, I'll go. When you tell me to stop, I'll stop. When you tell me to say it, I'll say it. When you tell me to not say it, I'll keep it in. Where is it in our lives that we could yield to the Holy Spirit? Paul said this, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say this to you, let the Holy Spirit lead you in each and every step. You can trust him. His ways are better. His plan for you is great. He wants to bring power and purity and purpose to our lives. And all we have to remember to do is to not quench him, to not grieve him, and to learn how to pause and yield to him and stay in step with where he's taking us. Amen. Would you pray with me today? I want to speak to, first off, we're going to respond to the message in just a minute with a little worship, and I'm going to let you respond in your heart. But first, I want to speak to those of you that maybe are in the room and you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, let alone heard about the Holy Spirit or been filled with the Spirit. You've never committed your life to Jesus. Or maybe you're watching online, or maybe at one time or another you did commit your life to Jesus, but then you walked away and you've been on your own doing your own thing for years, and the Holy Spirit is calling you back today. You need to recommit your life to Jesus. And so if that's you in the room, I just want to pray over you. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come up or do anything. I just want you to lift your hand right where you are. If you're going to say yes to Jesus today, you're ready to surrender your entire heart to him, that you know you need him to fill your life and touch your heart and give you what you can't do on your own. And so right where you are, I want you to pray this with me. Today, Jesus, I choose you. I give you my heart and all of my life. I repent of my sin today. Wash me clean. And now I pray that you would fill me, Holy Spirit. Take over my heart and my mind and my steps. I surrender them all to you. Show me how to live. My life is yours in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, can you give God praise for those that just made that commitment? Would you go ahead and stand up today? We're going to respond to the message. I made some space so we could respond. I don't know where you've come in today in this place. Maybe You need to be filled with the Spirit. And in this moment, as we continue to worship, I just want you to, you just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. There's nothing special about it. It's by faith that we ask the Holy Spirit. I want more of you, Holy Spirit. I want a fresh filling. Maybe you've been Spirit-filled, but you need a fresh filling. You just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you today. Or maybe you've been quenching Him or grieving Him. Or you just need to pause in this moment to yield to His voice. He wants to speak to you. He wants to direct you. And so right where you are, would you respond to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us? Come on, lift your hands in this place. We just respond to you, Holy Spirit. We say, come rest upon us. Come speak to us. Come lead us. Come guide us. Come convict us. Come prompt us. We surrender wholly to your voice. We will stay in step with you, Holy Spirit. Show us which way to go. We receive it now in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, can you just worship God right now?